It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Top 4 at 4 this afternoon brought to you by our friends right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, where the month-end sales event continues. Got to get these new Mitsubishis into your garage, people. Come on out here and check these out. Take a test drive this afternoon. It's a beautiful day. We have successfully dodged the rain, it looks like. So you come on and check these out. The new Mitsubishi Mirages, a brand new car, 100,000-mile warranty for as low as $11,000 this afternoon right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Number one, Phil Mickelson, fresh off the success of Sunday's charity golf exhibition with Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, says he would like to see the match become an annual event. Some of the guys that he threw out there as possible contestants on the match: Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Tony Romo, Patrick Mahomes. Bear, you said you enjoyed watching the match. Does any of that, do you have anybody you would like to see in the next incarnation of the match?
Yeah, I'd like to see Tiger and MJ.
How about this? I'll let you finish that here. Should Tiger and Peyton, since they won, should they get to come back and defend the title?
Yeah. Let Phil pick up Michael Jordan.
Peyton is, I'm not just saying this as a Tennessee fan, but he's so good for that. Like, he's just so good on the mic, you know, like much
he's
better.
Funny.
Than Brady. He is funny. And he busts chops and drops jokes and one-liners out there. He's really good.
Well, you can tell that he's going to be good whenever he enters the booth. If he ever does.
I don't think he is.
If he ever did, I'm just saying.
I would agree. He would be fantastic. What do you think about, like, Tiger and Peyton against Phil and Eli?
I think that would be too much manufactured.
To do what now? You want Tiger and Phil against Peyton and Eli?
No, Tiger and Peyton against Phil and Eli.
I'd probably be hysterical, but Eli'd probably end up swinging on him. I mean, he abuses Eli. He's a little brother.
I would really like to see Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Charles Woodson.
I don't know, man. I was edgy enough watching him go against Brady. I don't know if I could handle that. Like, I would get IRL mad.
Do we know if Charles can play golf?
I'm IRL mad right now just thinking about it. About everybody keeps saying Romo, but he's too good.
Yeah,
right?
He beat him.
Yeah, I mean, he might beat Tiger. Yeah, you know, you get lucky on a hot streak. I think they should definitely keep going with it in some interesting.
But not like once a year. Do it every 6 months.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. Number two, Major League Baseball drew the ire of the Players Union yesterday with an economic proposal that called for a significant cut in salaries that would affect all players, and particularly the game's highest paid. Long-awaited plan is the first volume and expected back and forth that will determine whether baseball returns in 2020. Proposed a marginal salary structure with the lowest paid players, paid players would receive close to a full share of their prorated salary, and the game's stars would receive far less than expected.
Yeah, pretty much a 75% cut.
And isn't that what, I mean, if that's what the numbers say they're going to have to take to stay in business going forward, then you take that, in my opinion, that's what's fair is fair. You take a 75% cut across the board, but the owners have to take a 75% cut of their revenues as well. And then if there's anything left over, you know what I say? I'm going to put on my Marxist.
There we go.
You take whatever's left over and you give it to the people that work the concession stands, the guy that works the parking lot out there. And if you got anything left over that, you give it to you provide vaccinations next year whenever we get one. for people who don't have health insurance. How about that? People do not want to hear. People do not want to hear from these baseball players talk about they don't want to go out there and play for 25% of their salary. That's going over like a lead balloon.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'm going to hit you back with something though. If you're scheduled to make $38 million this coming up year, and they said, "Hey, we're only going to pay you 7.5,"
I'd be happy to get it.
No.
Yes. To pay when there are people listening to the show right now who are out of work and don't have very good prospects of getting their job back, who are on unemployment right now, and that might run out. You know, people who
I get that, but it's hard to make a difference between.
I get it. It's a bummer, man. But nobody did that to these people. Nobody. This isn't some conspiracy to keep whoever from making his full baseball salary this year, man. It's an act of God, and you have to work around it. We all are. Why can't these guys?
I get it. I just.
Barry, you got any thoughts on the Major League Baseball player versus owner debate?
I mean, not really. I don't know enough about it, I guess. I feel bad for I kind of bust on them all the time. I feel bad for my friends like, you know, like Big Josh and Bino and the guys down at the Drunk Tank, all my buddies that – I mean, it's not summer for a lot of my friends unless there's baseball on, and I feel really bad for them. I haven't kept up with that negotiation enough to even really say which side I stand on. So,
number three, the basketball tournament, an event that has featured former college stars and overseas standouts competing for a seven-figure prize, will proceed this summer with the assistance of a comprehensive health and safety plan to minimize the risk of contracting the virus. So this is the thing that Bobby Mays has assembled a team for, and they have plans to go ahead with this, with testing competitors before they enter the venue, separating participants, and eliminating a team if one of its players tests positive. That's kind of the goal here. Starting in July, the tournament will host a 24-team single elimination tournament at a location to be determined, which organizers are calling Inner Island a quarantined campus. Organizers are considering multiple locations for that event. So that's cool. Last year, Ohio State won. Was that a championship that you celebrated, Fulky, the basketball tournament championship, Aaron Kraft's team?
TBT.
Last year?
It was not, no.
Oh.
You didn't get a lot. It's okay.
You didn't hang a banner, parade, anything like that?
I have a pennant from the football championship, but I don't watch college basketball that much. I watch March Madness, but that's about it.
Number four, an old audio tape of Michael Jordan has surfaced, in which he says he told NBA executive Rod Thorne, who was part of the selection committee for the 92 Dream Team, that if Isaiah Thomas was selected, Jordan would not play. Directly contradicting what he said in the Last Dance documentary. He's like, no, I didn't say that. He's like, yeah, actually you did. Which I don't think comes as a huge surprise to anybody. But I don't know, man.
How'd this audio come about?
Jack McCollum, who was the longtime thing, SI, basketball writer, has a podcast, and he did a bunch of interviews with the Dream with those guys, and it comes from 2011, and he put the tape out.
Just put it out.
Put it out.
Okay.
Bear, are you gonna walk back your?
I don't think that's going away.
Are you gonna walk back your Isaiah Thomas didn't deserve to be on the Dream Team cold take this afternoon, and give you the chance to walk that back?
No, the guy's a clown. He's a punk.
Unbelievable.
Can't stand him. Never liked him.
Okay, so even Jordan, this is a direct quote,
all right,
from Michael Jordan. I respect Isaiah Thomas's talent. To me, the best point guard of all time is Magic Johnson, and right behind him is Isaiah Thomas. No matter how much I hate him, I respect his game. Okay. If this is a meritocracy, you have to say that Isaiah got the shaft here. Isn't he at least owed an apology? A sorry? A
oops.
Man, if we had it to do over again, like kind of thing. Like, isn't that the very least we could do for the guy?
You think he's been put through that much?
Well, he's obviously, it sticks in his craw. I mean, it was a once in a lifetime. He had earned the right to be on the greatest collection of basketball talent that we will ever see. Ever. He earned that. And he didn't get to be on that team because of a petty grudge from a guy who holds petty grudges the way you hold so many nickels and dimes, to quote The Godfather.
Yeah, but I'm
like,
not.
I don't know, man. It seems like the guy. Yeah, you would be steamed about it too.
I have zero sympathy for Isaiah Thomas.
Why?
Because of his adult life transgressions.
His adult life transgressions.
Sexual harassment stuff that went down with the Knicks.
Charles Barkley was on.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
What? Charles Barkley. I mean, you want to talk about personal life? Larry Bird was on it. You're talking about personal life.
Okay, that's fine. You can narrow all them in then. You can put them
Carl
all in
Malone
there.
Was on the team.
Well, okay.
Carl Malone was on the dream team.
You can just. I mean, he got like a 12-year-old pregnant, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay. So can we take
He's
the
better asked.
Can we take the Bear says that with such glee in his voice.
Yeah.
Can we take the personal virtue aspect of it and just set it aside and say that from a basketball standpoint, Isaiah Thomas deserved to be on that team?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Still a dirtbag.
Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. We're here till 6, folks. They're here all week. All day, getting it done, selling cars, no matter what it is you need. Now, we talk about these Mitsubishis. Bear, I'm going to go out and get a picture of this orange 1966 Ford Mustang. Yeah, orange, Tennessee orange. It says, it's got a plate on this. I think it says UT Stang on the front of it.
What year did you say?
66.
Woo!
It is a beautiful car. And they've got that out there. We've got trucks galore. I'm looking at a line of F-150s right now. We have SUVs. I think I see a Suburban, a Tahoe out there.
I mean, should that Mustang not be sitting back in a closed off area, getting waxed and getting it ready for
For what?
Whatever 5-star recruit we need to get in that thing.
It's already been through all that. I mean, it is looking prime right now, and they're going to sell that thing. Somebody's going to. I mean,
I may go down there and buy it.
If I had any expendable income, I might drive that thing home myself. So we've got all that. We've
sure,
got,
we can start GoFundMe.
We've got sedans. We've got vans. We've got it all. And we have the new Mitsubishis. The prices blow your mind. We're talking about new cars. They're basically given away for half price here. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's crazy right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. It's happening right here, right now. Get on down here and check it out at 9711 Kingston Pike. Our phone number. 865-546-8200. Joe Rexroad of The Athletic is going to join here in about 10 minutes or so. Pick his mind on the sports weekend that was.
We're also 20 minutes away from liftoff. I feel like I'm in like space control right now, the way I'm talking. Just don't forget about that.
I would be...
I'd be scared to death. I paid you $1 million. Did you get in that capsule?
So they've been in that capsule like
for about 2 hours now.
2 hours.
2.5 hours.
And then they blast off, and it's kind of a long flight to the International Space Station, right?
Kind of.
I'm just saying, like, what do you, like, you have to do if you want to be rude
they,
here?
They,
you
they
gotta got to use the bathroom. You know?
They have them hooked up.
Oh, they got a thing?
They got a bag.
That's cool.
That's cool. They got a guy.
I'm just saying, man. I do this 3-hour show.
The problem is, I look at this thing, and folks, yeah. You have to. If you want to see it on Twitter, go to NASA's Twitter page or Facebook page. But it's just this capsule sitting on this huge, just rocket of fuel. Like, it's not like a space shuttle. It's just a capsule on top of.
I mean, that's the way they used to do it. That's what the Apollo things were. You go look at those Saturn.
Yeah, I mean, they basically just put you on top of a controlled bomb. That's how the astronauts described it back in the day. It's just a gigantic bomb.
Josh Dobbs is down there as a correspondent.
For NASA. Really?
Yeah, he's down there right now. He's doing live shots.
As a correspondent.
He's like a special guest. He did his internship this summer with NASA. Well, this summer. I'm sorry. This pandemic.
I love Josh Dobbs.
I don't know how much you'd have to pay me to get inside that darn thing. Maybe if I was like 80 and I was about to die or something.
This is private space flight. One step closer to...
You're trusting Elon Musk.
What did they say the space flight, the flight to the moon was going for? That Virgin airline guy is Richard Branson. Like, yeah. His company's already selling those. Is it like $200,000 for a flight to the moon?
For seat? Yeah. But it's in the outer space. It's not to the moon.
Yeah. It's just like you go a little bit.
You know, do like a Superman orbit.
Superman orbit?
Just do like a Superman orbit. You don't go right to the moon and say hello and park.
One step closer.
No, I still wouldn't do it. You remember that guy that floated to outer space and then jumped out?
Oh, yeah.
With the parachute up to him?
That was awesome.
I mean, that's not just straight dumbassery. I don't know what is.
He lived, didn't he?
Okay, yeah, he lived, but... Whatever. I don't get it. But this is cool.
That's good. I mean, it's the first time we sent manned spaceflight in 10 years.
Has it been 10 years?
10 years since they scuttled the shuttle program.
Now we have the Space Force.
And you know what we've been doing since then for, like, the guy?
Maybe that's a problem with Tennessee football. Maybe it's connected to NASA.
Yeah, maybe. Mark Kelly, the astronaut who spent a year on the
Gabby international. Gabby Gifford's husband, too.
Yeah, he's running for Senate. Probably going to win.
Yeah.
So they have to take the Russian Soyuz ships up to the thing. And then when they come down, they say coming down in one of those Russian capsules is like the scariest thing you can possibly imagine. Yeah. And then they land in Kazakhstan. I was reading this morning. I'm thinking, think about it. You spend a year in space. You spend a year. You're weightless. You come down. Your legs probably don't work. Everything feels whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You go to Kazakhstan. You got to have another like 12-hour flight.
God, I'd be so pissed.
To the United States.
You can't drop me off in Fort Lauderdale.
Really. We can't touch down in NYC or something here. You got to go to Kazakhstan.
Sir, you just landed in Kazakhstan. Congratulations. Yeah. No, you're not back in America yet.
Wow, yeah. The flight from the space station to Kazakhstan took like a third of the time that it's going to take to fly across the world in an airplane.
It's pretty interesting, too, like these boards that they're using. Like, you know, the other spaceship stuff, like, had buttons and all that. These are just like iPad-looking things.
It's simpler.
I don't know if I could sit in those seats right there for 2 hours without freaking out.
Trey, I don't think you have to worry about that. These guys are cut from a different cloth.
If I hit the lottery, I am going to reserve a spot. I'll take Bear with me.
Stay with us.
Then I'll just leave him out there.
What time is our friend Rex Rowe coming on?
Oh, you got 10 minutes.
Ah, okay. We'll sit here.
Take me where?
Take you to space with me.
And Trey, I'll push you out there like, bro.
How about... And how about the wheels of karmic justice spinning this afternoon? Do you guys remember the name Ray Anderson?
Yes.
Whoa.
Ray Anderson.
That's been a blast in the past.
The athletics director at Arizona State.
Right.
About 2.5 years ago, when Philip Fulmer had first gotten the AD job here at Tennessee, Ray Anderson gave an interview to somebody, I think it might have been Brett McMurphy,
base and just out of nowhere, like unsolicited, just started ripping Coach Fulmer. He said that the situation at UT is a cluster bleep and that Coach Fulmer was a, quote, pariah in the athletics director's community. That's what this guy said. And this is the guy that hired Herm Edwards and, like, we're not going to play college football anymore. We're, like, going to revolutionize the sport, do our own thing, whatever.
Yeah.
So fast forward 2.5 years later.
Oh, gosh.
Coach Fulmer is, I mean, he's not done yet, but enjoying a good offseason. Football program appears to be stable. Basketball program appears to be stable. Baseball in a good spot. Lady Ball's coming back. I think we'd all give Coach Fulmer a B plus, if not an A, for the job he's done so far. Ray Anderson, meanwhile, finds himself embroiled in a booster controversy where one of his top boosters has been accused of harassing multiple wives of his basketball program's coaching staff, including head coach Bobby Hurley. Emails have now surfaced between Bobby Hurley and the athletics director in a very terse, intense disagreement. And now people are calling for Ray Anderson's head. To quote Michael Scott, my, how the turntables have... Yes.
So he did he hide it from him? I remember the story. It was about a booster who was involved in the program.
About a high-ranking booster, a guy who gets a lot of money, and they're at basketball games, and he is making unwanted comments and advances towards all three of Hurley's assistants, I believe, towards their wives, and to Hurley's wife.
Yeah.
The coach's wife.
That's what it was. And he showed up or something like that when he wasn't supposed to.
And Hurley's going to his AD's like, what are you going to do about this? And the guy's basically like, nothing. And he's like, well, that's a problem.
Don't mess with Bobby Hurley, man. He will destroy you.
Well, he's gonna get his athletics director fired is what's going to happen.
He can sign a job. Get on the job market with Jeff Long.
Let's squeeze Westchester in here. Then we got to take a quick break and we will get Joe Rexroad in here. Westchester, you're on the drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How we doing?
Hey man, doing all right. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Hey, Trey, you think the Marines can get out of the way enough time for us to run the transfer?
I'm sorry. I've got a rough connection. Bear, did you hear any of that?
No,
You're breaking up on us, Westchester. Try one more time for us.
Trey, do you think the Marines can get out of the way enough time for us to run this race tonight?
Yeah, I think.
Thanks for the call, Westchester. Though, do we have time to run the race?
No, it's going to be close because of rain. It's coming into Charlotte tonight.
What race is tonight?
Oh, they're running. They're back up. They're backed up. Tonight's the. They had to fit another one in tonight because of everything that happened with the pandemic.
Okay.
They're running Charlotte
tonight.
They're
racing like every other night.
No, just this last time. Then they go to Bristol Sunday. Then they go to Atlanta. Whatever. Okay. They're going to watch it. They got rain tonight. If they don't race tonight, I was told they will race tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
All right, stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Joe Rexroad of The Athletic when we continue.
The drive gets some.
Back in on the drive. Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear and Trey back with you. We're live this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville, trying to move these Mitsubishis on a Wednesday afternoon. And pleased to be joined now by Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm good. I'm actually taking part in a Lady Vols fantasy draft for The Athletic, which will, I think, run next week. So I don't know if I'm doing that well, but it's amazing when you look at all the great players, you know, in the history of this program, when you put them all out on paper like that, it's quite a run.
A Lady Vol fantasy draft. Now, is this like you're drafting teams with your colleagues there?
Yeah, exactly. We have a few up. I know that there's been a few like Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan State men, a few others, I think, It's basically three writers draft eight players a piece in a snake draft format, and then we get someone who either played or coached in the program to judge the team. So we've had a few up there. We've got more. I think we have four for different in-state programs coming next week. So it's been fun and actually kind of difficult.
That's pretty cool. So who do you have so far on your team?
Well, I mean, I don't want to give it all away, but I will say that I have the number one pick, and I think I'm going to get roundly ripped because I think that most people would take Holtzclaw number one, and I went Candace Parker. So I know a lot of people would be immediately pan me for that. I kind of valued, you know, the outside shot a little bit. I'm trying to put together a team, you know, to play in today's game and win. But, I mean, you know, that you think about, you could also argue Tamika Catchings there too. And then actually it gets way harder when you go a little deeper in the draft because, like, we're going to end up not drafting, like, several All-Americans, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, definitely Holtzclaw and Parker would be 1-2. Then it gets interesting. I don't know. Catchings, Bridget Gordon would be in that conversation for
yep.
me. Tennessee has had some fantastic players, obviously. So we will we'll keep our eye open for that. That's a very interesting idea on the athletic.
And the men next week, too. We've already done that one. So, yeah, all kinds of fantasy drafting. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You got, like, video games, Tennessee football going on. We're trying to fill the void here.
So, for the men, Bernard King is obviously the number one pick. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. And that was also me. So, I was pretty excited to get that. Yes, that was an easy one.
All right, very good. Looking forward to that. I mean, that will spur. I'm already just going to go ahead and mark off an entire show on next week's calendar of just debating that topic. We thank The Athletic for producing a show for us this afternoon.
Nice.
Joe, I don't know if you have followed this space launch, this SpaceX launch this today at all, but evidently they just scrapped it because of weather. Trey and I were sitting here talking during the break.
It's 14 minutes till liftoff.
All the energy they put into this, the two astronauts are sitting in this capsule for 3 hours, can't go to the bathroom. They're just like staring up into the sky for 3 hours. And then they get down to like 14 minutes to go, and they scrap the thing. To me, Joe, that is how I'm going to feel if we go through the next 3 months of build up to college football, and then there's like a COVID outbreak, and then, we can't do it. That's going to be the is that a terrible analogy?
Hey, I'm glad you switched it there because honestly, I haven't really been following it. I've seen a couple tweets, but hey, I mean, I have definitely had that same thought on sports in general. I mean, you know, that's my fear is just that, you know, something happens between now and these planned. Obviously, football is right now just planned to start when it's supposed to start, but you know, you got hockey right now. Bless hockey for coming out with an actual plan, although they don't have dates. But it's still, you know, you're talking about training camp, probably July something. So, I mean, you're talking basically about August and September probably for the hockey playoffs, which would be, you know, right there when football happens. But, hey, it's worth the wait if we actually get it, you know. And then, you know, for as much as I would look forward to the hockey playoffs, obviously – you talk about the economics of college athletics. I mean, nothing means more than being able to stage a football season. So, like, I'm optimistic right now, but yeah, I mean, week by week, day by day, things can happen, and hopefully they just go in a positive direction.
Well, it seems like this getting the players back on campus, which is going to happen for Tennessee next week, and SEC schools, and then I think the other conferences are going to follow shortly thereafter. That seems like it's the first step. It's the only first step, right? It's like at a certain point you have to get guys back to campus and see what happens, and not like you're just winging it all nilly-willy. I'm sure they're going to have protocol in place and stuff like that, but you have to get these guys back on campus and see if, okay, can we make it through a month with, like, you know, where guys are working out and we're not having outbreaks and stuff like that. I feel like, Joe, if they can do that, then I will feel I won't say 100% optimistic, but pretty darn close that we're going to have a close to normal football season. Is that safe to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, as far I still have no idea what the fan aspect, which is a part of normalcy too. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You get them on campus. That's happening for sure. You know, I mean, the questions there are, one is testing, and of course that's been questioned a lot. You know, what is the plan? Because if you're just testing for people who are symptomatic, obviously, you know, you can miss people who could have the virus. But then also, what are you doing in terms of, you know, I mean, maybe nothing. Maybe the answer is nothing. But, like, is it just, like, go do whatever you want to do, go wherever you want when you're not on the practice field? Or are there some kind of, like, limitations, some kind of structure there? I don't know. I mean, if you're going to have students on campus, you're going to have a whole bunch of people in close quarters inside, you know, in real life. And, again, for anyone who says, you know, kids this age, you know, the death rate is minuscule at best. That's true. But, again, you know, there are older coaches and trainers and professors and other adults who could be, you know, at risk. So, long way of saying, I agree with you, Russell. I mean, I think, you know, if you can get through that and you don't have big issues, then, you know, also in the world at large, as long as there isn't, like, a big surge, you know, overall, or at least in this country, then I think you're going to be okay.
Joe, it's Trent. Appreciate you joining us. And the NHL news, and I'm sure you've been hearing this, it seemed like it had been talked about this format for a while, but here's what surprised me the most, that the NHL figured out how to get back before the NBA and Major League Baseball. And I know there's different circumstances with baseball, NBA trying to figure out, you know, can they play this thing at Disney World? But, you know, out of the three, are you surprised it's the NHL, or do you just think that they're led by maybe not smarter folks, maybe that's the wrong word, but more proactive folks?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the NBA has kind of been, it's like if you feel, it has felt like whatever the NBA does and everybody else does that, you know, like they've kind of been the leader. But, yeah, I mean, good on the NHL for coming with, you know, this plan and this framework of what they're going to do. I mean, we got baseball just threatening to really hurt baseball right now. And I do think with the NBA, you know, I think we're close to getting a more structured idea of what they're going to do. And it sounds like last I saw, I guess Orlando seems to be the place of choice. But, no, I mean, it's, hey, I know I got a jolt of energy yesterday just thinking about, hey, there's some actual playoff matchups. You know, the Predators are going to take on the Arizona Coyotes in this sort of, you know, extra first round, like qualifying round, they call it, to get it down to 16, get it down from 24 to 16. You know, they've got the phasing in next week with, it's still very limited. I mean, you got, I think, six players at a time and all this stuff, and it's voluntary still until they actually have a training camp. But, you know, they got to pick two hub cities, but at least, you know, we have an idea of what it's going to look like, and they've moved forward with that. So that's, I mean, that's great for hockey because to me, whenever hockey has a chance to step out front, it's big for that sport because it's still, you know, trails basketball, football, baseball by a pretty wide margin in this country in terms of popularity. So this is one of those things where it's like an opportunity to kind of step out and separate yourself a little bit.
Joe, when it comes to, I'm going to go to the NCAA here for a second. I'm going to kind of switch things up. I just saw where transfer wing Johnny Juzang got eligible for UCLA this upcoming year. His waiver was approved. How much do you think in your mind, is this waiver thing going to get passed in January? Is this a way for them, the NCAA, to say, you know what, we need a little more control on this. We don't want to just grant blanket waivers for a whole year. I mean, they tabled it to January 21 to have the discussion again. Do you think when that time comes, we actually get this process, or do you think they want the control?
I apologize. So are you saying long-term how I think it will turn out?
Yeah, well, they canceled the vote for the waiver process to get a one-time waiver, And I just saw somebody get, you know, was granted a waiver at UCLA for basketball. So I guess my question is, do you think this thing actually pans out for college football? Because there's players all around the country right now waiting to see if they can play this year. It seems like the NCAA has a lot more on their mind.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, I think eventually, obviously this has changed everything. I think eventually we're going to get to the world of the one-time waiver play immediately and then, you know, restrict it after that, which I know a lot of coaches hate that idea, but, you know, I mean, I can see both sides of it, but I think you could really get rid of all this ambiguity that we have, and we're going to have more of it now because, like you said, Trey, you table this, and now it's just back to, you know, these sort of judging these cases one by one and what appears to be in very inconsistent ways. I mean, to me, if you can get it, you know, you get it to this one-time rule, at first it'll be a lot of people won't like it, and there'll be probably a lot of movement out of it. But I think at least you can eliminate now. One, you probably cut down on the on players who go, you know, 2 and 3 times in their careers, you know, and you also, of course, eliminate this perceived uneven playing field or inconsistent, you know, judging process where it's like, wait, how could that kid be eligible, but then that one isn't? And, of course, Tennessee fans know that well after the last basketball season. So, so I don't know if I answered your question well, but, I mean, I do think that long-term, you know, we are going to be – we're going to see that pass eventually, and I think overall it will probably be a good thing.
Last question for me, Joe. Oklahoma announced yesterday they were not going to let players back on campus to July 1st. The SEC is going to let players on campus next Monday. Is this, in your mind, Oklahoma, potentially the Big 12, playing mind games here, or is this just, okay, the SEC is going to do what they do, we're in Oklahoma, we're in this state? I mean, is this going to be spread out all around college football where everybody's just making different opinions and conclusions?
Well, yeah, and then look at the thing about the Big Ten, you know, when you've got, obviously, Michigan is, like, still really locked down, and their president just said that, you know, they won't play if there aren't students. You got New Jersey is representing the Big Ten, then you got like Iowa and other and Ohio states like that that are pretty much wide open. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of different things. And, you know, to me, it's like, hey, it's just like anything else in college football. Where can you find an edge? You got a few more weeks of this where you can actually have formalized in-person workouts, and then you can transition into sort of, you know, sort of like a makeup for spring ball and then go right into camp. You know, I think that the programs that are able to kind of do that for longer probably have a little bit of an edge. But, I mean, I think in particular with these leagues that sort of have, like, different states with different things going on, that's really going to be interesting to see.
Talk with Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Last thing here, Joe, we go back to what we were talking about with players coming back to campus and the outlook for college football season. If there are no fans or a limited amount of fans in the stands, that would seem to really take away home field advantage, which is amplified, especially in the Southeastern Conference. What do you think about, obviously, from a Tennessee perspective, no fans would be an advantage for the trip to Oklahoma, but a disadvantage when Florida and Alabama come to town. Overall, just your thoughts on reduced capacity, would that be a positive or a negative overall for Tennessee, just from a strictly competitive stance?
Yeah, that's a good question. I hadn't thought of it in terms of, like, you know, just, I guess some teams may have, you know, like in some years where you have, like, your really tough road schedule, you know, and it's like, oh, this would be a good year to have the no fan rule. I mean, I feel like for Tennessee, like you said, I mean, anytime, if that place, we all know how great Neyland Stadium is when it rocks, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't I mean, I think back to the BYU game last year after they had just lost an awful game, and then what they got from crowd support in that BYU game was incredible. I mean, that's such a huge loss for any home game. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, I guess the game in Oklahoma, you I mean, does it mean road teams overall just have a lot more success? Maybe, you know, I mean, I always feel like in college football, I think in college football, college basketball in particular, there's, you know, there's a few points on the spread that have to do with home field. And I think they're real. I mean, I think that's a real thing. So if you take that out, man, I don't know. For Tennessee, I think there's pluses and minuses on their schedule, just like every year. But then also, like, so let's say it's like 25,000. Can you still have a great atmosphere, 30,000 people? You spread out through a stadium. Can you still have a great atmosphere? Can you create noise that impacts a game with that many people? I don't know. Maybe you can. I guess that's one of those things, too, where, like in basketball, a half-full arena could still rock. You know, because you contain the noise, you know. But overall, regardless of that home road, it would just be a huge downer for all of us to not have these scenes. Because to me, college football, for as great as it is, the sport, the players, the coaches, I mean, everything around the game, I think, is kind of what separates college football.
Yeah, I mean, we will potentially find out, you know, if they have reduced capacity, you know, all the pageantry and stuff. I think sometimes some people think that becomes cliche, but I do think there is a lot to that, and it will be harder to watch other games that you're not emotionally or perhaps financially invested in. I'll say, are you going to tune in to watch an Akron Toledo game in the MAC on a Thursday night? There's no fans, no marching band, no nothing.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm going to turn in for some action whenever I can get it, but you know, but no, you're right. I mean, it will be so bizarre. I mean, I'm thinking of these hockey playoffs, like they're all in one building with no fans. I mean, the Stanley Cup final, think about the fans here 3 years ago when they got to the final. It was unbelievable. Like, take that away and we'll still take the sports, but man, how weird will it be? So weird.
Absolutely. He's at Joe Rexrode on Twitter and the Athletic. Looking forward to those fantasy drafts coming out here in the next week or so, Joe. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping in.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. See you later.
Yep. Joe Rexrode of the Athletic making his presence felt.
Fun interview.
That's some good stuff. We might have to. Can we just steal that topic? Is that okay? Can we just do our own three-man?
We told UT him that draft? We were going to talk about it, so I think we're good.
We give him credit.
Right. We'll give him credit for it. We'll give him credit.
Oh, man, I'm going to kick that around. It's a brilliant topic. Stay with us. The drive continues. Olben Franklin Motors. We are live this afternoon, and we're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Back here on the Drive, Fan Run Radio, live this afternoon at Olben Franklin Motors. Russell Bear Trey back with you, taking your phone calls at 865-546-8200. Bear, I neglected to mention, well, I actually took the day off yesterday as well. It was a 4-day weekend for Fan Run, so we worked some things around the station. I got a lot accomplished yesterday. I was not just sitting around. I had a major goal yesterday, and it took me pretty much all day. I worked on it for 15, 20 minutes here. I had to take a break, you know, kept coming back to it. But about 8 o'clock yesterday, I finally was able to clean out my email.
Why'd you do that?
You've seen how far behind I am. I've shown you my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was well north of 400 old emails in there.
You're like my mother.
Well, it was just one of those things, and I realized, you know what? I just got to sit down. I'm going to force myself to do it. There's no show yesterday, and I just went through them and got rid of them. And then you get back, 400 emails ago. I'm like, that's like 3 or 4 months ago. And I had been current until I just let it go. I just let myself go.
Well, I have two mailboxes, so.
Well, so do
I'm
I.
Sure to you.
Yeah, I've got the private email, the work email, and it was the private email was the one. The work email is pretty current.
The messed up part is when you go like a month without checking your junk mail.
Yeah.
But then there's actually can't just go in and delete all the junk mail because sometimes there's actually important stuff that gets put in there.
a lot of it was stuff from my my middle schooler's school, because they've been sending, like, every teacher was sending all this stuff, and I don't want to just delete it, but I can't just, like, stop what I'm doing during the day and read, oh, your sixth grader has a social studies whatever newsletter, it came out, and so, like, all that stuff backed up and went through, and ended up just deleting most of it, but feels good. Tremendous sense of accomplishment, Bear. Tremendous. Thank you. Big thanks to David Britt and his team at Volunteer State Insurance Brokers for all your insurance needs, ladies and gentlemen. David Britt can handle it. He is a huge fan-run supporter, huge Tennessee supporter. And if you have any questions about health insurance, dental, vision, if you have life insurance needs or questions, he can walk you through all that. Life insurance is that's super complicated, right? Nobody knows what's going on there. What do I need, term life or the whole life? Like, I don't know, but David does, and he'll walk you through it. Give him a call, 865-224-3243, or email him, davidbritt@volunteerstateinsurance.com. David Britt and Volunteer State Insurance. All right, coming up here in hour number three, we're going to have a jam or not a jam, I believe, with Tanner Carson in overtime coming in. Also, Trey, we're starting to learn more about the NBA, and they're trying to get things going again. So they want to bring all the teams. They want to start with training camps in the home cities, and then they want to bring all the teams to Orlando and play the games at Disney's Wide World of Sports.
Which has like five courts.
Uh-huh. And I did not realize, but they're talking about putting the players in, like, the Disney World resorts.
Yeah, and the theme park resorts.
And the players are balking at this, and I actually don't blame them on this one, because, no, like, if you're 6 foot eight and you're playing professional basketball, like, you know, getting a good night's sleep is very important.
Right.
And you can't do that if you're laying on a double bed.
They're
twin
motels.
Bed they're nice. Like, I've stayed at some of those ones.
No, like the theme
about.
One, those. Yeah. The ones with the field goal post outside.
They're nice, but they're small, and they're not equipped to accommodate men who are over 6'4" tall.
And guys that make over $15 million a year.
They can probably bring in their own beds, right? They can make special accommodations.
It's a lot of work putting in, bud.
It's a lot of. I mean, do you
want to have basketball or not?
Yeah. Do you
that
like?
That seems like a simple thing to do. Just get the damn beds. My God.
Vegas.
I'm with Bear on this one. Just get the beds in there.
I mean, that's just if that's what's holding up. That's the most asinine, stupid thing I've ever heard of in my life.
You get yourself
the damn beds.
You get yourself a bed sponsor, whatever, the official bed of the NBA, and you get them to bring in
2,000 beds.
2,000 king sizes, and you set them up. And I'm sure they're going to be paying top dollar for those rooms, too, because I saw where Disney World is opening up in July.
Yeah.
And they are not just going to give those rooms to the NBA either.
They're also trying to figure out how to get their families down there.
There are other
that'd be pretty cool
non-Disney-owned hotels down there. In Orlando, they would probably have better accommodations, I would think.
Yeah, like the Marriott. Yeah,
I get it. You're a grown man. You don't want to sit in the Little Mermaid room for 2 months while you're trying to make a championship run.
They're going to put the rookies in those.
Like, I get that end of it, but
I'd be so mad.
These guys got to get out there and play, man. People are, I'm telling you, you're already seeing some of it on social media, like. There's going to be a major backlash. I think baseball more so than basketball. But if you don't finish your season because of money, that's not going to play well. And it's going to hurt you in terms of ticket sales going forward. And it's going to hurt you in terms of your negotiations with your TV partners going forward. And it's going to hurt everybody, players and owners alike. They need to get on the same page. And if they're going to have these tense negotiations, they need to figure a way to have them behind closed doors.
There's 144,000 hotel rooms in Orlando figured out.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get some beds down there, Bear. Get some hammocks, something. A futon.
I really want them to throw in like a free Disney pass.
I don't think they're going to be going to Magic Kingdom. Epcot.
Was this a Nike summit?
Down there working. It's the NBA playoffs, man. They got stuff to do. Like, I'm sorry.
Hope y'all have fun with Jam or no Jam, buddy.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number three coming up. Back with more right after this. The drive.